I want to talk to you today once again about effective, fervent prayer. And the key is to be devoted to prayer. Prayer must be our priority. Somebody say amen. Amen. Today we want to look at this thought. If we desire to operate in the power and the wisdom of God, we must be totally devoted to a lifestyle of prayer. We must pray and pray and pray until we know we have prayed through and heard from God. The Lord spoke to me when I was 17 years old and told me, if you're going to do what I've called you to do, you need to pray 3 hours a day. And for many years, that's been my goal, to pray 3 hours a day. Sometimes it's a real struggle, but that's always my goal, to pray 3 hours every day. That's why God has given me the revelations and things I preach that no other preachers seem to get. And it's right there in the Bible, right there in the book, like healing, for example, and the miracle power of God been manifested in the church today. It's right there in the book. But if we don't meditate on it, somehow the devil can keep us from really getting what he has to say. If we want victory like the early church had, we must be devoted to prayer. It needs to be priority number one. I know a lot of people just don't believe that prayer works, and that's why it doesn't work. That's why it doesn't work, because they believe it doesn't. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. What'd that say? Was that me or was that the Word of God? The Word of God, Colossians 4, 2, devote yourselves to prayer. I mean, how many ways can you say that? Okay. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. Keep alert in prayer. Why? Because God talks to you. He tells you things. Talk to a lot of these successful businessmen and women here. They'll tell you that they get their wisdom and direction and courage and boldness from prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. You got to be grateful for what he's already done and not be complaining about what the situation you're in now. You thank him for all the miracles he's already worked. Be devoted to prayer. There's something going on in this church. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Be devoted to prayer and keep an attitude of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Wonder what that means. Rejoice always. And I need help on that one. Y'all pray for me. I'll go rejoicing. We must come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise and rejoicing. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. You can get up and pray in the morning to get prayed through and then just maintain that attitude of prayer all day long. We must start the day with prayer and keep an attitude of prayer with thanksgiving all day long. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. Now that doesn't mean give thanks for the bad things that the devil does. I'm not going to give thanks to God for the devil stealing and killing and destroying. Okay, and some people get all confused, think that's what it means. No, it says in everything give thanks. No matter how bad it is, you got something to thank God for. Can you say amen? If you think I'm going to thank God for strep throat, you're nuts. Okay, the devil's used that to torment me. But if I do get sick, I'm going to thank God in the middle of it that he's a healer. Amen. 1 Timothy 2:8, God help me. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. We must have godly hands and pray for what we need without fighting in anger. Some people feel like they got to fight and take everything they want. Listen, pray and let God fight your battles. Pray and let God fight your battles. James chapter, that doesn't mean you're lazy and you do not work or really go after something God has told you to do. You can see I do that. But at the same time, you don't go at it with a mental attitude or you're going to beat somebody up or you're going to fight, you're going to make it happen. Only God can make it happen. James chapter 5, verse 13, is any one of you in trouble? Is any one of you in trouble? Don't raise your hand. This tells you what to do. Is any one of you in trouble? I know this is going to shock you, but it says he or she should pray. Okay. Exactly the same thing I've been saying over and over and over. James 5:13, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Are you in trouble? pray until you get the victory. And then no matter how it looks, you keep walking like you're a winner. Somebody say, glory to God. You see, men ought to pray and not give up. Remember that from last week? Jesus told a parable to the disciples that men ought to pray and not faint, not give up, not quit. And a lot of times we quit. And I'm not a quitter. How about you? But if you're not going to quit, you need to know how to not quit. If you're not going to quit, you got to pray it through, okay, and get the victory. Just saying I'm not going to worry about it doesn't change anything. You can say, I'm not going to worry about that storm, and then it still blow your house away. And instead of worrying about it, though, we pray through and get victory over the storm. Amen. Matthew 18:19, again I say to you that if two of you on earth agree, if any two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. What did we just do with all these people who came down here? Agreed with them for healing, deliverance from pain, and restoration. Can you say amen? Amen. And it says we got it. Amen. Can you agree with that? And if you came down here and you agree with that, that the pain is leaving and it's not coming back. Amen. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And keep on praying even during good times, sad times, and bad times. Amen. Amen. You never quit praying and never quit praising God. Verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. If Paul needed people agreeing with him and praying with him in prayer that he'd have boldness to preach, we all need people praying for us. You need to be praying for me. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul asked for prayer that he might say the right things and preach boldly. Can y'all pray that for me? Thank you, Jesus. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another. Why is that important? I mean, we need to keep ourselves humble. And you're not going to be humble if you're always strutting around pretending to be perfect. You need to be able to say, you don't need to hang out all your dirty laundry. I don't need to know everything you've ever done. Okay. But we need to confess that we have faults and failures and defeats like everybody else. Can you say? That's the truth. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another. Confess your faults and pray for one another that you may be healed. You want to be healed, then you should have been up here praying for someone else. If you weren't, you need to be up here praying for someone else to be healed. Amen. That's the way Christianity works. You do for others what you want done for you. Amen. You want people praying for you, you pray for them. Amen. We are to confess our faults and keep on praying for one another. This is what it means to be devoted to prayer. Devoted to it. That's the first thing you think. Pray. And a lot of people just think, well, I'll pray for you. They don't really mean it. That's not being devoted to prayer. Being devoted to prayer means you're going to do it. Prayer comes first before we mess everything up. Did you hear that? Prayer comes first before we mess everything up. That's why you don't need to leave the house until you pray, until you get peace. Amen. Amen. And don't wait till the day you get everything messed up and then start praying. Okay. Pray that God will direct you through the day so you don't mess everything up. Start the day with prayer. We are to use all prayers in all situations. No matter what the situation is, pray. To have a successful prayer life, we must be devoted to prayer. We must be devoted to the Word of God as a part of prayer. I do not pray without the Word of God. When I'm praying, that's me talking to God. When I'm meditating on His Word, that's Him speaking into my life, giving me wisdom and direction from the Word of God. And I have a lot of memorized scriptures, and that just makes it easy to pray anywhere, anytime. You don't even have to have the light on because you got to memorize. And they always work. My word is spirit and life. And if you'll quote it and quote it slowly and believe the word of God, it'll speak to you, it'll talk to you, it'll quicken you, it'll cause you to be healthier. My son, attend to my words, incline an ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from before thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart for their life unto those that find them in health to all their flesh. I'm going to read that in just a few seconds, but I feel like quoting it. Yay. To have a successful prayer life, we must be devoted to the word as a part of prayer. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I just don't have faith to believe God for that. Well, that's, you need to get in the word of God and build the faith. Build your faith. Get you some faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There should be a little faith kindling in you right now from the word of God I'm reading. Meditating on the word produces faith. And meditating is not speed reading. Sometimes you read the same thing over and over and over until the anointing on it gets in you. It begins to quicken you, begins to heal you. And meditating on the word produces faith. Here's that scripture, Romans 4:20. My son, my daughter, attend to my words. Incline an ear unto my sayings. Did he stutter? Or did he say what I thought he said? I believe he said, my son, attend to my words, which means you spend time with his word, reading his word, meditating on the words, incline an ear unto my sayings. And how do you do that? You pay attention in church. Therefore, you need to be in church to incline your ears to what the preacher's preaching. If he's preaching the word of God, for sure, you don't pay attention. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Let them not depart from thine eyes. You need to be reading it. Keep it in front of you day and night as much as you can. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. How do you do that? You memorize them. Well, it's hard for me to memorize things. It just seems like my memory's not what it used to be. Well, when you start really meditating on the Word of God, your memory will improve, I believe, because the Word of God is powerful. It affects your memory. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart for their life, for their life, for their life. Unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. About every time I've been healed, I've been meditating on the word of God. And it's scriptures I've already memorized and meditating on that, and been meditating on that God brings back to my memory. And so God works miracles in us when we're full of the word of God. And you know what neuropathy is? My uncle owned this big, I had several uncles. This is Uncle Ernest. He had a big farm, I don't know, a couple hundred acres, I guess. And he had rattlesnakes that would even get in his house. And so he liked rattlesnakes, and I guess I've never handled a snake that didn't have two legs. But he had neuropathy in his feet, and his rattlesnake, and I mean, he'd been doing it for years. This rattlesnake got in his basement, and he had this basket, and he's going to try to catch the rattlesnake. He'd take him on the far side of the farm, turn him loose rather than kill him. And I have a different opinion of that. But anyway, he was catching this snake, and he had neuropathy in his feet. And the snake didn't bite him until his feet gave way, and he fell on the snake. And the snake said, get off of me, and bit him, and it killed him. Well, the devil's been telling me, you're going to get neuropathy in your feet. And so about 3-4 weeks ago, I had the most horrible pain. I think it's my right foot. I could not put any weight on it at all. I said, well, Lord, you have to heal this. And I began to think of all these scriptures. I said, I can't stand in the pulpit and preach for this kind of pain in my foot. Right. Yay. And I heard the Lord say, I got it. But it's based on all these healing scriptures and faith scriptures. See, I knew what to do. You call on heaven, you believe God. And when I heard him say, I got it, man, I put weight on it. And the pain was gone just like that. See, if you come to tell me this doesn't work, you're a day late and a dollar short. And you need to quit doubting God. You see, we desire to be healthy. We are required to meditate on God's word as a major part of prayer. Just flat do it. Well, I don't have time. Make time. I'm not going to ask you how many hours a day you watch TV. But I know it's a lot for most of us. So you can cut out a couple of that hours of that stuff every day, at least one. And I don't believe you're going to walk in real victory until you pray at least 1 hour a day. Don't get mad at me when I'm telling you the truth. Many are trying to stand in faith without first receiving faith from God. See, if you read the word and pray, you can fill up an hour very quickly. If you're reading the word, meditating on the word, quoting the word, and praying, you can fill up an hour very quickly because it reminds you of things you need to pray over. I mean, just to pray over all my family members can take some pretty serious time if I get serious with each one of them. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith and not by sight. That's why some of you just can't get healed. You're going by what you feel and see. You can't go with what you feel and see with your eyes. When the Lord spoke to me about that neuropathy or whatever it was, he said, I got it. When he said, I got it, I believed it. I put weight on it. Okay. Y'all paying attention yet? You don't go by the way you feel. You go by what's in here. And by feelings, I mean feelings. But when I say I feel it, I don't mean I feel it. What you get it in here, that's beyond feeling. It says his spirit bears. I'm telling you stuff now you need to know. And I didn't intend to tell you some of this stuff. But it says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're sons and daughters of God. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm healed of neuropathy, whatever it is. It's beyond feeling. It's a no-so in here. I got it. And, buddy, I act on it. Y'all paying attention. And so we live by faith, by that revelation, that no-so, that quickening of heart, and not by what we feel. If I went by what I felt, I would never put weight on that foot. Because it hurt. So that's crazy. Well, I'm standing up here, aren't I? 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, the eyes of your heart, not these eyes, the eyes of your heart, but on what is unseen. How can you focus on what is unseen? You pray the word of God until it gets in here. You don't see that healing yet, but it's in there. And when you start acting on it and start relieving God for it enough to act on it, then it manifests. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If we want our prayers answered, we must fix our eyes of faith on the word rather than the circumstances and symptoms. We pray over the word until we receive a personal word. Then, with God's help, we act on it. I knew I had a word from God, and I acted on it. Abraham did not, and that's the way it always is. Abraham did, and if God tells you to go to the doctor, that's your faith, go to the doctor. You go with that revelation. Abraham did not name and claim what he desired. He believed and acted on God's promise to him. He didn't go around confessing that he was the father of many nations because that's what he wanted. He went around confessing that because God called it. God named it. And he believed God, and he changed his name to line up with God, with his, I am the father of many nations. And every time he introduced himself, he said, my father's Abraham. He was testifying to them, I'm the father of many nations. And the promise was to he and Sarah. They didn't even have one kid. And he's telling everybody he's the father of many nations. Many people around him had to be laughing. He's a very rich man, so they didn't laugh in front of him. Okay. What was his promise? So numberless shall your descendants be. God told him, he said, your descendants are going to be so many, can't be numbered. And look at them today. I mean, they're all over the place. Called Jews. Can you say amen? They're everywhere. It's See, there's a prophecy right there that we're living with right now. The Jews everywhere. I discovered last Sunday that even Terry Dashby is half Jew. I didn't know that. Well, I did know it too. I forgot it. I know a lot of things I forgot. My daddy used to say, I forgot more than you know. God used this. God said, I bring all things back to remembrance, all the things that I've taught you anyway. So you say, he refused to allow the circumstances to cause doubt. Can you imagine going 25 years telling people you're the father of many nations and y'all don't even have one kid, one child? Mark 11:23, truly I tell you, whoever, say whoever. Does it say apostle? Does it say apostle? Does it say preacher? Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, now you leave the Smokies alone, you know it don't mean that. It doesn't mean that. It means problem, whatever it is. Demonic stronghold, bondage, speak to the mountain. Speak to the headache. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. And there's a little phrase right there, and does not doubt at all in his heart. You can have all kind of doubt up here, but you cast it down. Yeah, well, that new prophet is going to get you. No, it's not. And you say, amen, that strep throat's going to keep him preaching next week. No, it's not. Amen. You stop it before it gets anywhere. If you keep meditating on it, it's a good chance it's going to get in your heart, and you're going to wind up speaking negative, and as soon as you do, you have just let that thing come into your life. Right. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. You won't believe that. Well, then go right ahead and do what you want to do. But I know what works for me. And if it works for me, it'll work for you. Because God is no respecter of persons. He didn't write this book just for Barry. He wrote it for all of us. He had it written for all of us. He used men to write it, but he inspired it. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart. But once you get that peace, that notes of revelation in there, don't you doubt it, don't you cast it away, no matter how bad things get, you stand on it. And does not doubt at all in his heart. See, that's what the devil's hoping for. He can just keep the pressure on, keep the pain coming, and you'll give up and quit. And he's a high one. I said once, he's a good devil. And people, pastor said the devil's a good devil. I didn't mean he's good. I meant he's good at being bad. Be lifted up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes what he says. Believes, if you're saying the word of God, you should be able to believe it. With his stripes, I'm healed. With his stripes, I'm healed. does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes what he says will take place. It'll be done for him. It's important to know the word, speak the word, and believe it enough to act on it. According to Jesus, speaking to mountains is a necessary part of prayer. When you're praying, you speak to the problem. You speak to the mountain. I'm not speaking to mountains. Well, I didn't tell you to do it. Amen. Jesus says we are to speak to our mountains and believe that God will move them. You're not going to move the mountain. God removes it because you believe him. For this reason, I'm telling you, you see, I didn't heal my foot. When God said, I got it, and I acted on it, he healed it. Amen. For this reason, and that just happened. That's not some ancient miracle. I talk about my ancient miracles, but I got a lot of new ones too. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that, believe, trust, and be confident that it's granted to you, and you'll get it. You see, this is a personal word from Jesus Christ for every one of us. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted you and you will get it. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it right here, right now, and you'll get it. Same thing. And this translation says that's granted to you. Whatever translation you use, you believe that it's happening inside of you as you pray. And you're praying to get that peace and that confidence, that know-so. whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that it is being granted to you right now, and you will get it. You pray until His Spirit touches your spirit, and you have this no-so revelation. I got it. And then, I don't care what the devil does, don't you doubt it. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted you, and you'll get it. And it's being granted as you pray, but it's become a no-so revelation. If you keep praying, you can hear God say, I got it, or it's done. Amen. Amen. Trust and be confident that it is granted to you right here, right now, and you'll get it. You pray until you get that peace. Revelation, no-so, it's done. You keep praying until you get it. In other words, you pray to get a verification in you that it is done. I think I told you about losing my phone. And I think this happened just a week or two before the foot thing with the neuropathy or whatever that was. And I was over at the health club pumping iron. And, I mean, you can see I'm not lying to you. And so it started raining as I was leaving the health club, so I started running. And I wore my phone on my belt on a clip. And I had the phone in the health club, ran through the rain, got in my vehicle, drove home. The phone was gone. Just evaporated. And if you're like me, you can't function without a phone. I grew up on a farm and no one even had a phone at all. I remember the first landline phone I ever saw. And now I got one in my pocket I can't live without. We've come a long way, baby, in my lifetime. Can you say amen? A long way. And it just blows my mind how people full of hate and attacking each other and fighting each other and raping and murdering, doing all these wicked things. And we live in the greatest, most exciting day this world has ever seen, and we're acting like a bunch of nuts. Why in the world can't we get happy with all the great things happening all around us instead of fussing and fighting over things that very often don't make any difference at all? Something wrong with man. He needs to get saved. And saved people need to act like they're saved. Can you say amen? But I lost my phone. And it was hopeless. It's gone. And about the only thing that could have happened was I lost it in the parking lot and somebody ran over it. Or somebody picked it up and took it home. Or maybe somebody picked it up and took it back into the health club. But that place is full of it's Fort Sanders over here, just off of Pellissippi, Kingston Pike, Pellissippi. And there's all kind of doctor's offices, dentals, all kind of things in there. So anybody could have lost that phone, and they wouldn't have known who to take it to. But God knew where it was. And, I need to hear from God. I get away from the TV, you know. And I don't care what daughter's watching. I got to get away from that. And so I go in the bathroom and shut the door. And, you know, God gave us this fancy house. So the bathroom is about as big as my bedroom used to be. So I went in there and shut the door, sat in the chair. I said, God, I've got to have this phone. And I need you to get my phone back. I need you to help me find that phone. Tell me where that phone is. And I heard him say, I got it. Wow, God's got it. Where is it? you got it, I need it. Where is it? And all of a sudden I felt this. Y'all pay attention. I'm telling you some good stuff. All of a sudden I felt the real, and I don't care if I told it before, you need to hear it again. So some of you people forget like I do. You don't remember. And they say you have to tell something about five times before people really get it anyway. And so anyway, all of a sudden I felt an unbelievable desire to go back over there and drive through that parking lot. And so I said, Dottie, I feel like I should go over there. And she said, well, I'll go with you. And, of course, she had a plan to make me buy her dinner, so I found that out later. So she went with me, and we drove around the parking lot. There's no sign of a phone anywhere. I said, well, I felt like this is what I was supposed to do. And I already called the people there at Four Centers Health Club, and talked to one girl twice, called her twice. They gave us the security detail that watches the parking lot. They gave me their number. I called, said, have you seen a phone laying around the parking lot anywhere? No, we hadn't seen a phone. And so we drive around the parking lot, and I said, well, I'm going to go back in there and talk to them and see if they found something and go back and look in the locker to be sure I got it out of there. And so I go back in, and Dottie says, I'm going to stay out here and look in the parking lot. And I thought to myself, well, she's wasting her time, but let her do it. Okay. And so I go in, there's a brunette and a blonde girl behind the young, they're both young people. And the brunette said, well, I'm the one that talked to you. Said, that phone still hasn't shown up. And then the blonde says, wait a minute. Said, somebody told me that they saw a phone leaning against a tree, and it had been raining. I said, what? I said, yeah, I said, they said it's going to bring it in, but they didn't. She said, well, you go back in the locker room, and look, I'm going to go out in the parking lot and look at the tree. And just as she said that, she started toward the door. Dottie came running through the door. Here's your phone. Now, it was raining, and someone saw it evidently laying in the parking lot, picked it up, and stood it like this against a tree. And that protected it from the rain. And God says, I know where you, I know. He said, I got your phone. Yeah, ah. Now tell me prayer doesn't work. Amen. I dare you. Tell me it doesn't work. It works. Now, Lord, multiply my time. Let's see if that works. I need a lot of time. You see, God reveals things to those who devote themselves to prayer and the Word. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me, and I will answer thee. He didn't stutter. Call upon me, and I'll answer thee. And I quote this probably two or three times every day. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. God will reveal things to us when we devote ourselves to prayer. Call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee. I'll show you things you didn't even know. And here's a good example. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and demanded that his wise men tell him his dream and its interpretation. The wise men said, no one has ever asked their wise men, their sorcerers, their magicians, to ever do anything like that. At least tell us the dream. He said, no, if I tell you the dream, then you just make up something. You got to tell me the dream and the interpretation. Daniel 2:16. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. You see, he said, I need time to pray. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you need time to pray. Yes. Not just time to go search for your phone, but you need time to pray for that phone. You got to bring the thing back. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they got into agreement, verse 18, that they might seek the mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He says, if you don't come up with an answer, I'm going to kill every one of you. Well, he had put Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that group. And they were the only really wise men they had because they had contact with God, and the others were just sorcerers and magicians. And they had no hope. They were all dead ducks. Can you say that's the truth? And he said, let's pray. And they began to pray, and verse 19 says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. God gave him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven, verse 22, here's what he says. He reveals deep and secret things. Can you believe that? Amen. He reveals deep and secret things to who? To those who pray. What did they do? Go out to lunch? No, they prayed. They dropped everything they were doing and prayed like their lives depended on it, because it did. He said, he knows what is in the darkness, he says, and light dwells with him. Verse 23, you have given me wisdom and might. If you want wisdom and might, you need to be devoted to the Word of God. Have you had time to read and meditate on the Word of God? Take these scriptures, write them down, and look them up and meditate on them. Make your own prayer cards with these scriptures on them. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. You see, there was no one that knew the dream except the king and God. But God knew it. God had it. God reveals things to those who are devoted to prayer. We do not have a problem that cannot be fixed in prayer. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. Are you sick and near death? The doctor's given up on you? Well, maybe God hasn't. Get a hold of God. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. God says, this is it for you. Yay. Then he turned his face. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now. And he was a young guy. And it can be God's will for young people to go to heaven. Well, I don't understand it. Well, you don't have to understand it. Verse 3, remember now, O Lord, I pray how I have walked. Remember how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He's devoted to prayer. You see, this is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Verse 4, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you'll go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servants. Daniel goes, well, everything's fixed. You can't change anything. Prayer doesn't work. Lie. Straight from the devil. The prophet said, God says you're done. Well, God doesn't change his mind. Listen, God is God. And they say that until they get a scripture like that, and then they start backtracking and all. But listen, when he repented, and when he began to really pray, God had mercy on him. It's not God changing his mind. It's having mercy. He's a God of mercy. And you can believe all this garbage if you want to. Everything's fixed. Prayer doesn't work. My Bible says the effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Jesus said, I tell you, even though he'll not rise and give to him because his friend, yet because his persistence, he'll rise and give him as many as he needs. You can believe these crazy preachers that preach anything and everything that's popular to the people they're talking to, or you can get in the Word of God and believe God. Amen. And that goes for me too, because there's a time I preach opposite to what I'm preaching right now. But you want to go with the Word of God no matter who's preaching it. And that's why I give you so many scriptures. You can't live here wondering if that's in the Bible. Well, I preach on something, you know it's in the Bible. Unless your brain is so programmed with heresy, you can't believe the truth. And that can happen. Am I being nice? I want to be nice. But I'd rather be right. Devotion to prayer works. I'm out of time, and who cares? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. As she kept on praying, say, she kept on praying. Say, she kept on praying. Kept on praying. Hurry, I'm in a hurry. She kept on praying. Elijah observed her mouth, And she was just moving her lips. She had prayed as she couldn't pray anymore. Verse 13, Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." She got her voice back. "Not so." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled, and if you're in trouble, you need to pray." You remember that a few minutes ago? If you got a trouble, you pray. "I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." That's called devotion to prayer, ladies and gentlemen. "I have prayed until I couldn't hardly pray anymore." That's what you got to do sometimes. Verse 16, "Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Verse 17, Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. He's a high priest, and he had a discerning in his spirit that God was going to grant that. And he said, "Go in peace, and may God do it." And he did. When Hannah finished praying, she had a peace about the matter. And there's people will argue with that. Well, God's God. He's sovereign. He is sovereign, ladies and gentlemen. But his word is sovereign. That's what he told me when I asked him. I said, "They say you're sovereign." He says, "I am. Therefore, my word is sovereign. I'm going to do everything I say." What's wrong with people that can't get that? And, well, I had to ask God myself. And God did give her a son named Samuel. God gave her Samuel, who became the greatest priest and the greatest judge Israel ever had. He was both high priest and judge. Well, it would have happened anyway. It would have happened anyway. That's Satan telling you that. It would have happened anyway. That neuropathy wouldn't have went away. My phone wouldn't have walked back home. God gave her Samuel, who became the greatest priest and the greatest judge. He was both. He anointed Saul as King Saul and David as King David, the first two kings. This woman changed history because she was devoted to prayer. We can change our lives and situations with prayer. Let's all stand.